Turn in your Bibles with me, please, tonight to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 there in your New Testament. Philippians is located just right past Ephesians. You can find Ephesians. Keep going. If you run into Colossians or Thessalonians, you've gone too far. But it's right between Ephesians and Colossians. Philippians chapter 4. Boy, I want to tell you before I dive into the Word, I just want to say how much I enjoyed that food and fellowship tonight. And Derek and Lorraine, y'all did a superb job. I think it'd be appropriate for us to give them a hand for their hard work. And also, of course, to the teens. They're not up here to be recognized, but Arthur and Lauren and all the teenagers that served tonight, how grateful I am for their hard work. And those timely refills that they gave and that good dessert. And they were just there to be a blessing and a help. And thank you for all those that supported tonight. But boy, that barbecue was so good. We have some good cooks in our church. And I don't think I stand a chance of ever losing weight while I'm pastor here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church, as these folks just know how to cook and are a blessing. But pray for our teens. I know those camps are coming up here quickly. I think we're going to do probably at least one more meal, if not two, to where we can have that time on a Wednesday night to help the young people go to summer camp. Do appreciate your support there. Well, Philippians chapter 4, I want to take a few minutes tonight. Like I said, I don't want to spend a long time in the study because I do want to have some sweet time of prayer tonight over some needs in our church, and also want to spend some time praising the Lord. We have lots to thank God for. But at the end of the service, I do want to leave some time for us to go back to the fellowship hall to get those stacks of 100 of our Easter outreach cards that'll be going out to the community. Well, find your place there in Philippians chapter 4. And this is the third message of this mini series on protecting or protectors of the peace of God. We understand that there is an attack on the peace of God in our hearts. And that's why Paul exhorted us, let the peace of God rule your hearts. Let it be the umpire. And what we have here in Philippians is Paul saying, hey, put the citadel up around your heart. Put the fortress up around your heart, which is guarding the peace of God. Let's read that together. I'll read it out loud here, beginning in verse number 5. Let your moderation, your gentleness, that is, boy, what a, we could park right there and preach tonight. How many of us are gentle in our spirit? He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I believe that is meaning he's encouraging these believers in the truth of the coming of Christ, the imminent return of Christ. But I also believe it means that the Lord is here. He is imminent in His presence. We believe that that He is here, and we don't have to fret and worry and be anxious. But notice what it says in verse 6: Be careful for nothing, but in prayer, but in everything by prayer and supplication with. Let's say that word together. With? Amen. Let your request be made known unto God. In other words, let's remember this, church. Sometimes it's not, we don't have the time to, if it's an emergency, but let's try to always make it a habit that anytime we pray, we also thank God. It's not just for the request, which that is part of prayer, but with thanksgiving. But let's move on here. And the peace of God, here it is, which passeth, surpasseth, and exceeds all understanding, shall, what's that next word? Keep. That's the idea of guarding, okay? That's your citadel there. That's your fortress. It's going to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so, our first two messages, the first one was on the importance of prayer. We talked about how powerful prayer is and protecting us against the enemies of peace, the adversaries of peace. And then we also talked about praise and how important it is to give thanks to God, to give Him glory and honor and thanksgiving at all times, how that will truly change our mindset on how we are looking at life, our perspective, if you will. And that brings us to our next point here in verse number 8. It says, finally, brethren. He's kind of wrapping things up. Finally, brethren, believers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to be with your people tonight. I'm so glad to have the Word of God before us, Lord, because my words are nothing compared to your words. Your words are pure. Your words are true. And Lord, they're lovely. They're perfect. And they're reliable and trustworthy. They're living. It's your Word, Lord. You breathing upon men the very words of your own heart, and you have given them to us. So, Lord, help us, Spirit of God, teach us tonight to know how to guard the peace that you've given us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we commit this time to you, and we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, I'm grateful tonight for the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. His ministry of comfort, His ministry of teaching us the Word. He's a comforter, and He's the one that will take the Word of God and reveal it to us in a very special way. That's why you can be reading the Word of God in the mornings, and you can feel like God, you can just sense like the Lord is right there in the room. The verse, the word He gives you, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And tonight, and when you're in a message, when you're in a service, and you're going through things in life, and it's like, man, the preacher, he's been talking to some people about me, or so. I mean, hey, I've been in that same seat that you're sitting in tonight, and we realize it, but that's not somebody talking to somebody. That's just the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And so I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I want to tell you, God wants you to have a peace that truly exceeds all understanding. In the midst of the greatest turmoil of life, God wants us to have this beautiful peace. But that Holy Spirit's a coach, if you will. He's an encourager, a comforter. He's that idea of the parakletos. It's the one who comes alongside to comfort. And I got tickled today. Some of the things the kids say just make you giggle. But this one little boy, he's a third grader. I think he's probably about 9 years old. He was it was at the end of Good News Club, and they were all headed out. And this particular boy, he's always excited. You know, he's always jumping around, and he's always coming up and, you know, hitting me or something, and asking me how I'm doing or whatnot. But anyway, this particular day, he's leaving out, and they're getting ready to go to spring break. So I don't know what it is. All the teachers here know exactly what I'm talking about. I didn't know it until I started doing this. But there's something that enters these children the week before spring break. And it gets wild, folks. I'm here to tell you. Am I right, teachers? Yeah. All right. So anyway, Brother Heath told me earlier, he said, all you got to do is just hold on. He said, just hold on. And then a week will go by. But nevertheless, this one boy said, and this has really touched my heart and encouraged me. He said, we'll see you later, coach. He said, oh, he said, I didn't mean to call you coach. He said, you're not coach, you're a pastor. He said, well, this is what he said, 9 years old. He said, well, come to think of it, you are my coach. You're my coach for Jesus. He said, you're my Jesus coach. I said, amen. I guess that's one way to look at it. But honestly, I'm not. But I'll tell you who is the Holy Spirit. He's the one, like we've been learning in Romans chapter 8. He's the one in us. He's the one producing the life of Christ. He's coming alongside us. He's teaching us the Word of God. He's teaching us so much about Christ. And He's teaching us the Christ life and living it out in us. And so let's just see what He says here tonight about this piece. I want to talk tonight. I want to start focusing on our perspective, our pondering as a protector of the peace of God. We have prayer. We have praise. But tonight I want to tell you, what is your perspective in life right now? Your perspective really matters. Because I think we all need to understand, and I believe everyone here knows this, but the first thing Satan attacks is what? The mind. He attacks our thinking. Because, folks, let's just face it, if he can get you to think wrong, he's going to get you to act wrong. And if he can get you to think differently about God than what the Bible says, you're going to act differently towards God. And so we need to make sure our meditations throughout the day are truly honoring to God. They are consistent. Let me say it like this. They are consistent with the character of God. Our thoughts must be consistent with the character of God. That means His natural attributes and His moral attributes. The fact that He is love and patient and mercy and grace and good, but His natural are His omnipotence, His omniscience, His omnipresence, His immanence, His immutability, His transcendence. I mean, His sovereignty. We meditate and our thoughts are consistent with His character. And I believe that's what verse When you think in your life daily, no matter what you're going through, no matter whether you're at work, church, the ball game, you need to make sure that your thoughts line up with verse 8. So can we just all conclude here tonight that there's not a time that we should not practice verse 8? If you agree that, you say amen. Okay. So, what does he mean here when he steps into this? The first one he gives, notice the first characteristic he gives when we are pondering what our perspective is, and that is whatsoever things are, say it with me, true. True. Those things, first of all, that are true about God. Unchangeable truth. Truth that does not waver. I mean, we're wavering people, aren't we? But when I think upon the Lord and think upon the truth that He's talking about right here, that's not going to change. My moods change. Your moods change. Our emotions change. Our circumstances change. The situations around us change. All right? The seasons of trials, they change. But one thing we can be encouraged by tonight, brethren, is that God never changes. He is truth. He is settled. He is unmovable. And when we think on things that are true, that will help us to hold strong. And I want to give just some practical thoughts, perceptions, if you will, and in regards to this idea of just having the right kind of thoughts. that will help you. Because as I mentioned earlier, Satan's going to attack the mind. A lot of times we, as Christians, we can get real aggressive or strong towards people that sin in the flesh. Okay? And we should. I mean, we should hate sin no matter what kind of sin it is. We should love the sinner, hate the sin. We should hate sin in our own life. But I will say this. You know what some of the ones we don't get hard on? Are sins of the mind. Also considered sins of the spirit. You think about the sin. What was the first sin ever committed? Pride. Pride. That's a sin of the mind, is it not? So again, you know, that is what Satan will go for. He goes, it's a sin of the mind. You could say the same thing about lust and covetousness and greed and suspicion. You could say that about discouragement. You could go on and on with a list of the things of the mind. So what do? We need to, first of all, get a hold and meditate on those things which are true. And we know that the Lord Himself is truth. Now, people ask today, well, what is truth? Well, they've always asked it. We know Pilate asked it, right? What is truth? Well, you know, we're living in an age today. Well, it's moral relativism, is it not? It's whatever seems right to you, and that's what we're going. That's what a lot of people are focusing on. And guess what? That has a serious impact on someone's emotions. Because nothing's settled. Nothing is fixed and settled. If you're whatever's relative, you're going to be a mess. You may say, well, no, I'm free, but you're actually in a big tangled mess. I'm learning how to use a bait caster right now. Oh, anybody know what I'm talking about? A bait caster? Who doesn't know what I'm talking about right here? Okay. A bait caster is a type of fishing rod and reel. It's a reel. So you have open face and then you have the push button like the old Zebco 33. Those are the kind I'm going to start sticking with, okay? Just Zebco 33. No. But the open face has got a spool of line that when you cast it out, you have to hold your thumb on it just right. And if you don't, you're talking about testing your sanctification. You sit there, you spend your whole time fishing trying to pull out this bird nest line, but it could just be a mess. You know, anybody that just says, do what feels good, they're going to be a mess. What do people need to have the peace of God? They need the truth of God. And they need to be fixed on it. Where's your heart tonight? Is your heart centered on your feelings and your emotions? On the future, which things you don't know, things that are out of your control. But what about what is truth about who God is? I'm telling you right now, it'll set you free. It'll set me free. Because we know the truth shall what? Set you free. You know, we're battled with lies every day, aren't we? You know, I think upon the, even in the area of media, whether that be the news media, social media, the radio, we're feeding ourselves something every day. Okay. It might be different realms or whatever the case may be. But one of the things that we need, the litmus test of whether we should be receiving it and digesting it and allowing it to truly affect us, do we know that it's 100% true? Because there are times when things are mere speculation and there may be good reason, there may be evidence to lean that way in some context, you know. Again, this applies across the board, but the fact of the matter is one of the things we need to ask ourselves, well, wait a minute, do we know that it's true like we know the Bible is true? Do we know it's that 100% factual? And one of the things that Satan will do is he will take some things that have some truth to it. Because that's the way he always works. Does he ever use with just nothing but lie, the obvious lie? No. Satan doesn't work that way. He will take some truth and he'll put some false into it. He'll put that which is false into it. He kind of mix it up to disguise it. That's just the way he works. He's deceitful. He's a serpent. He's subtle. And we have to be careful about what we're allowing to affect our hearts and minds. And I'm telling you, folks, the day and age we're living in, I'm not going to get to preaching here because I'm preaching to myself too. We got to be careful on how much we are spending on the world's news. I think we ought to be educated people, to where up to date people. We're aware. And especially if you're a journalist, that's kind of where you make your living. But there are certain contexts that the rest of us, that we just got to, we need to make sure that we have the right kind of diet of the world's news. Because here's the thing, there are times, even in the world's news, that there can be a spin put on things. And that goes from both sides, by the way. That can be from the liberal side or the conservative side. I feel like they're both guilty of it. And so as discerning people, I'm not saying we shouldn't watch the news because I think it's good. It could be a good thing to watch the news. It could be a good thing to be up to date. But there is a difference when you have a digestion of it of hours and hours and hours. Like people on the screen, that's what they're doing all day. They're scrolling. And a lot of what they're getting is not true. So what we need to do is we got to guard against that. We need to compare everything to the Word of God. That will protect us. That'll protect my peace. And I don't say this to brag at all. Lord knows my heart. But I was not strong enough have a social media account. I'm not here to say that I won't do it again. I may go back to using it. And if you're using it, I'm not saying you're in sin. You understand my heart. But me personally, I felt that medicine probably about a year ago. And so I was like, well, man, this can't be a help. I am trying to start to exercise more. But I'm just, the things that were getting in my heart and mind that were just making my skin burn and my blood boil, and then not just from the news aspect, but then just other things in life that you would see. Listen, it was just robbing me of the peace of God, and a lot of it it wasn't necessarily true, and I couldn't know. And then I'll be trying to figure out the details to connect the dots, and I'm telling you, it's a trap. And so what my point is to you tonight, I believe what Paul says, we need to make our greatest part of our diet is that which is true. This is what needs to be our main diet. And that way we can have discernment when it comes to the world's news, the world's events, our friends and family and the things they're going through and things they're posting. You'll be able to handle with maturity social media because you can. But I just want you to know, and I want to encourage you as your pastor, please be careful. If you're struggling with peace, having peace, you might just want to consider coming off. Just letting your heart get settled. It might just be for a week. So I'm just going to set this aside. I'm just going to focus on my family, my work, and my walk with the Lord. And I want to be a person of peace. And you're going to have to focus on that which is true. So I'm just going to leave it there tonight, brethren. Let's really strive to focus and meditate and ponder that which is true. Would you pray with me? We need your help in this. We're combated every day. Just things that we don't know for a fact. Things that Satan will whisper to us that are lies. Things we try to read into the future. Sometimes we just take a person's word for it. We take their research for it. And sometimes we get a hold of gossip. And sometimes, Lord, we listen to slander. And God Almighty, we don't want to be that way. We do want to be people of peace. We want to be people of discernment and people who are disciplined, have a disciplined mind, to have a fortress and a citadel that's strong against the wiles of the devil as he seeks to rob us of our peace with you and the peace of God that you have gifted us with as we walk with you. I thank you for those here tonight. I pray for anybody that just needs to make a decision. And through the message that we've heard tonight, would you bless, Holy Spirit?